We started to think then about what makes something great. We say, for example, we use the word great in all sorts of ways. We say a football player is great, or a car is great, or people say to each other these days, have a great day. What makes something, though, truly great? 11 times in the reading this morning, we came across the word great. And it's a key to understanding what is going on in Revelation chapters 18 and 19. To be able to recognize what is true greatness and what is false greatness. Because true greatness leads to true joy. False greatness leads to false joy. And we have in the chapter we read, Revelation 18, a picture of worldly greatness, Babylon. Economic success, false religion, and apparent prosperity seems to make Babylon great. But then a mighty angel comes with a millstone, and with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down, the angel says, and shall not be found any more. The greatness, the apparent greatness of Babylon, is a false greatness. And there are men in Babylon who are described as great men of the earth. Kings, merchants, sailors. But again, the great city and these apparently great men will be thrown down. Because all nations by Babylon can be deceived. And you can be, and I can be deceived this morning. Babylon is said to have made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She deceives. And Babylon will deceive you this morning. This world will get you to look for false greatness and deceive you. Make you spiritually drunk, as it were, so that you don't see things as they really are. And you're satisfied with false greatness and don't seek true greatness. The merchants appeared to be great because they were rich. But it was just the outward appearance which was thrown down in a moment. It may be that as we read this chapter, we should again and again put inverted commas around the word great. Babylon, the great, or so-called great. These great men, so-called great. They convinced each other and they convinced themselves that they were great. But Babylon and these great ones are headed to God's rubbish dump. Whereas the people of God are brought to know God as the bride of Christ in eternal greatness and glory and joy. So let's look at the verses this morning under these headings: false greatness, false joy, true greatness, true joy. So first of all, false greatness. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 4 to 8, a voice from heaven tells God's people to come out of Babylon. In other words, do not live as Babylon lives for false greatness. God has remembered the sins of Babylon and will judge her. Verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I'm no widow and will not see sorrow. Babylon says that she's great, things will carry on as they always have, nothing can touch her. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will utterly be burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. She thinks she's great, but she's not. She thinks she has peace, but she does not have peace. She thinks she's in control, but she is not in control. Like the great people of London this morning who think London is this great city. We have peace. We're in control. Nothing can touch us. Notice the speed of God's judgment here. In one day, in the chapter. It's even shortened to 1 hour. It's repeated 3 times. She thinks she's great and secure. Nothing can touch her. And she falls quickly. Suddenly. And the kings of the earth, verses 9 and 10, they think they're great. Lived luxuriously with her. The merchants of the earth, the traders, verses 11 to 17. You have that long list of the merchants who trade in verse 12. Things that still this world thinks makes a person great. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, citron wood, ivory, precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wheat, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots. And in a moment, they're gone. You see, the false greatness that this world promises is a fleeting thing. It'll pass away. And the sailors and seafarers, verses 17 to 19, they too know, along with the merchants and the kings, if this sudden judgment can come upon Babylon, it can come upon them too. And their apparent greatness is an illusion. It's not going to last. It's a false greatness. Now, this world will try to seduce you this morning to live then for false greatness. If you're rich, you'll be happy. Live for this world, live for yourself, live for pleasure. Live for money or sex or whatever it is, but live for this world and you will get true joy. But what we find here is that this false greatness leads to a false joy. The three people mentioned here all had false joy. Look at what they had. In verse 9, we read about the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her. Rich, powerful people who indulged in all sorts of sexual immorality and favors. And they thought, in these things we will find true joy. And in a moment they're gone. The merchants grew rich, that long list. We might say today in a modern translation, they lived for the glitter and the glitz of this world. And in a moment, it was gone. And every shipmaster traveling by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance, verse 17, and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, Babylon burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They all seemed wealthy. They all seemed powerful. They all seemed satisfied. They all seemed happy. They think they're great and they have true joy, but in fact it's a false greatness and they have a false joy. And it will not last. And it will not stand before God, the great judge. Verses 21 to 24, the sense of joy has gone. All that false joy disappears, it evaporates like the morning mist. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more." And then you read of the musicians, the craftsmen, even the light of the lamp, the voice of the bride and bridegroom, all the things that people thought would last forever suddenly are no more. Psalmist tells us, the nations rage, the kingdoms were moved, the Lord uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Peter tells us, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are done on it will be burnt up. So when The voice from heaven says to you this morning, don't live for Babylon. Don't live for false greatness and false joy. Come out of Babylon. Live for Christ. Trust in Him. Put God at the center of your life. That's not just an empty call. In chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus has reminded the church again and again the danger of departing from the Lord and being sucked into the life that this world promises, perhaps most clearly in that letter of the Lord Jesus to Laodicea, where the Lord Jesus says to the church, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. How strong the appeal of the world is. How attractive the glitter and glitz of this world is. But it will lead you to pursue false greatness and false joy. And you can invest time and energy and your life for things that will not last. Solid joys and lasting treasures. None but Zion's children, the people of God, none but Zion's children know. So this chapter warns about false greatness that's passing away, false joy that passes away. Let's look thirdly then at true greatness. Chapter 19, verses 1 to 4 is a contrast. The kings, the merchants, the sailors, they wail and lament when they see the judgment on the great harlot Babylon. The multitude in heaven looking at the same thing rejoice. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants, shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. You see the point that John is making. Babylon thought she was great. Babylon thought she was secure. Babylon thought she would never mourn. The merchants, the kings, the shipmasters, they thought they were great. They thought they were rich. They thought they had it made. They thought it was secure. They said, we are in control. We are masters of our own fate. But then God shatters that illusion. Glory and power and salvation belong to the Lord. So salvation is not in earthly accomplishments. It's not in earthly power. It's not in wealth and riches. No, there is no glory apart from the glory that comes from knowing God, and no power that compares to his. So the multitude cries out, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Now, if you notice at the end of the reading in chapter 19, verse 10, John does something foolish as a result. John says, I fell at his feet to worship him, the angel that brought the message. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John is so overwhelmed by the message that he's tempted to worship the messenger. But John is rebuked. Don't worship me, the angel says. I'm not great. Like you, I'm a witness to Jesus Christ. Only God is great. Worship the Lord. Trust him. Don't worship me. Worship the Lord. And John is saying, the Lord is the mighty one. The Lord this morning is the sovereign one. Do not be deceived by the apparently great ones of this world who say that they are in control. No, ultimately, God is in control. And God is the just one. He will judge righteously. So it's folly to look to someone other than God for protection, for honor, for grace, for true joy. The Lord is the truly great one. Look to him. Don't be deceived by the glamour and glitz of this world. True greatness, only God is truly great. And then true joy, fourthly. There's false greatness, false joy. True greatness, true joy. Before the fall of Babylon, the kings, the merchants, the shipmasters think they have real joy. They have wealth. They have sex. They have respect. They've got it made. And then they lose it in a moment. Instead of ongoing joy, Babylon suffers eternal punishment. There's an ephemeral joy. But her smoke then goes up forever and ever. Who has true joy? Chapter 18, verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. The voice from heaven tells God's people to rejoice. How long? To rejoice forever. Rejoice in God's victory. Rejoice in God's glory. Rejoice in God's grace forever and ever. And in that heavenly perspective, God shows us his people appeared insignificant in Babylon. His people appeared weak. His people appeared to be the foolish ones of the world. His people looked as if they were the ones to be pitied. His people looked as if they were the ones out of touch with reality. But they were actually in touch with the living God. They saw things as they truly were. God sovereignly in control. They're the one protected by the sovereign power of God. They know where true wisdom is to be found, in the Lord. And in Jesus Christ, they know a lasting joy that this world cannot give. Here's true joy, John is saying. True joy is found in the Lord alone. And so in chapter 19, verses 5 to 10, all God's people are called on to praise the Lord. Those who thought they were great in Babylon now lament. But now God's people, although this world thought they were insignificant, now they know true, lasting joy. I mentioned to the boys and girls earlier about the Countess of Huntingdon, Selina, the Countess of Huntingdon. That comment that she made on those words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." So John describes for us these people now who glory in the Lord. Let us rejoice, God's people say. Let us give God glory. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. These verses explain to us that first question that's asked in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, what is the chief end of man? What should you live for, in other words? What's life really about? What should you aim for first in this life? The chief end of man. What's really important? Live for this. Make this at the center of your life. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. If you're going to have true joy, glorify God. Find true joy in him forever. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, God's people say to the Lord. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. There's a picture there of Jesus the Lamb, the heavenly bridegroom, and the Church of Christ described as being like the bride who's making herself, the wife making herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. It may be in a few months I'll have the privilege of conducting a wedding service. Maybe. And if I do, then I always enjoy weddings, to stand with a couple, to hear their vows, and to see the way in which the Lord, who brings two people together and who in his sovereign grace orchestrates that relationship, a couple who can find true joy, yes, in one another, but ultimately too in the Lord who brings them together. Now that's the type of joy that John is describing here. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, Isaiah says, so shall your God rejoice over you. The bride of Christ here is contrasted with the harlot, Babylon. The adornment of the bride is pure, not seductive like the harlot. The bride has righteous deeds. The harlot is guilty of immorality, adulteries, abominations, and drinking the blood of the saints. But in chapter 19, the bride has conquered. The bride has new robes of righteousness given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Isaiah helps us as we think about that picture of a bride clothed in pure white. Listen to the way Isaiah the prophet describes the righteousness which is ours by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61 verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the thing that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. God has done it, the prophet says. And here in the book of Revelation, John is saying, the bride rejoices in this righteousness that she's been clothed with by the Lord Jesus Christ. You stand before God on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are declared righteous by the Holy God because you're clothed with the robe of righteousness given to you by Jesus Christ. And then John says that is practically worked out in your life by the power of God. In this active way, as a bride adorns herself with jewels, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. And just so with this bride. She is given robes of righteousness by Jesus Christ, and then she makes herself ready. She overcomes, she conquers, she adorns herself. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. True greatness comes through knowing the Lord. True joy comes through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Your chief end in your life, what you really are to live for, glorify God, enjoy him forever. not enjoying just the passing greatness and joys of this world, self-glorification. This world is passing away. Live for God. Live for things that matter, that are eternal, that will last. Now, there are many good gifts that God gives us in this world. A career, comforts, family, a job. Many blessings. But if you just live for those things alone, you won't know true greatness and true joy, because those things ultimately will pass away. They're disappearing. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Turn to him and you find true greatness and true joy, and for all eternity. We'll pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the picture the Bible gives us. This world is tempted to live for false greatness and false joy, things that will pass away, that will disappear. Help us to live for those things which make for true greatness and true joy. To know the Lord, to enjoy him forever, to know what it is to be right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for these solid joys, these lasting treasures. As we live for Christ, keep us from the seductions of this world, but keep us focused on Jesus Christ, we pray, to his glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn together. It's number 241. In the hymn book, 241. Hark, the voice of love and mercy sounds aloud from Calvary. Let's pray. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both this day and forevermore. Amen.